Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Let me greet you a happy Easter. Jesus has risen, and happy Easter, everybody. Easter is the most important of the traditions of the Christian faith, but like most traditions, they serve a purpose for as long as we keep the full meaning of what it is. Traditions can be dead and meaningless, and that's why I've entitled this message, Resurrecting Easter. In recognition of the fact that for many, Easter is a tradition that is devoid of the meaning and the purpose, and to help us understand that, let me talk to you about a drug that has become very popular all throughout history. It's known as Bayer aspirin. Invented in 1897, that's how old this drug is, it was once touted as a wonder drug. The pill of Bayer became so famous all over the world, but many don't realize that before it became a pill, it was actually in powder form. It was actually in bottles in powder form, and the way you took the pill was through teaspoons. The problem with this process was that sometimes the dosage was not right. Hence, the Bayer company invented the Bayer pill. And when they started putting the pills in bottles and started shipping them, the pills would break and become powder again. Thus, they started the process of putting cotton balls inside bottles so that the bottles would not shake and the pills will not break. Eventually, the Bayer company would invent a coating called enteric, which allows them to ship the pills without the cotton balls. However, to this day, companies still put cotton balls, even though there's enteric coating. The reason is because they've kept the tradition without understanding why it was there in the first place. The good news of Jesus Christ is centered around the Easter celebration. And when we miss that, we end up with a tradition that is useless and meaningless because we really don't know why it was there in the first place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you've received and on which you have taken your stand." Notice the words, "I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly, not to the tradition, but to the essence of this gospel. This word that I preached to you, by this gospel, you are saved. Otherwise, if you didn't, it's just a dead tradition in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of," watch this, "first importance." There is a first importance to the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is what it is. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the essence of a very big part of the essence of the good news. And that he appeared to Cephas, meaning Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, and while some of them have fallen asleep or died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all, Paul, saying, "He appeared to me also as one abnormally born." The resurrection is of first importance. It's foundational, it's essential to the truth of the gospel. Without it, it says, our faith is useless. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 says, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." When we don't have this idea of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a reality, that we are one day resurrecting from the dead in Christ, our preaching is useless, this thing I'm doing is useless, and the thing you're listening to is useless, it's vain, so is your faith. And if Christ, it says further in verse 17 and 18, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And then those also have fallen asleep are lost in Christ. In other words, the resurrection is of first importance, and without it, our faith is in vain. Secondly, it says in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are people most to be pitied. He says basically, if there is no resurrection from the dead, there is no point in even having hope in this faith. We are people to be pitied for even believing it. The point is, the resurrection is of first importance, and without it, our faith is in vain, and without it, our hope is in vain. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Not only is this true, the first fruits of those who have all have fallen asleep have been risen from the dead. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Notice that the power of death came through one man, but the power of resurrection also came through one man. For as Adam in all, for in, as in Adam all die, so in Christ we're all made alive. The resurrection of the is of first importance. Without it, our faith is in vain. Without it, our hope is in vain. And finally, it is the ultimate display of God's power. My second point is, what can we expect now that we know that that's the truth? If we're to keep this tradition, if we're to enjoy the benefits of the resurrection of the dead, what can we expect? Well, first of all, it will be glorious. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? The question is valid. How are the dead raised? I don't even know. Is this a myth? Is this true? And with what kind of body will they come from? A valid question. Now, Paul replies and says, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. In other words, the only way you're going to see something become a different thing is when it first is sown. In other words, a seed needs to be sown. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. In other words, you don't plant a tree, you plant the seed. Just the seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. Let me explain. This is what a seed looks like. And once you plant it, this is what it eventually looks like. It's not the same. It will not look the same. And that was what Paul was saying. How foolish. Don't you understand that in the very natured creation of God, you can see that what you sow does not come out the way the same way. In the same way that this body of ours is sown into the ground, it will not come back the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38 says, but God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives it its own body. That's a fascinating thought. He's explained that every seed is different in the same way that every fruit is different. But the beginning premise is you have to sow it. It has to die before it can come alive again. Nature shows us a simple acorn, and inside that acorn is the ability to build a giant oak tree. When you have the gospel inside of you, you have the capacity to resurrect from the dead into something so glorious it is beyond your capacity to even comprehend at this moment. What you can be sure of is that it says not all flesh are the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. This earthly body has a kind of splendor. There's a kind of beauty to it. There's a kind of efficiency to it. There's a kind of life to it. But the splendor of the heavenly body is of one kind. The point is splendor. What can we expect? It is glorious. Secondly, it is eternal. So it would be, it says, in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Notice what it says, it is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. In the years that I have ministered, I've seen a lot of people die. When you die, there's nothing glorious about it. Fake tooth fall, hairs go, and we shrivel and die. But the truth of the matter is when we resurrect from the dead, not only are we raised imperishable, we are raised in glory. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, and yet it is raised in power. This is what it will look like. Raised imperishable, raised in glory, raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Our bodies are natural, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. When we understand what the resurrection from the dead is, that's what we can expect. We can expect it is glorious. We expect it is eternal. Finally, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, it says, when the perishable, this is probably one of my favorite all-time verses in the Bible, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And now you can actually taunt death and say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. The good news, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What can we expect? It is glorious. It's eternal. It is the final measure of victory. It is victorious. My final point here is it's available to you today. Today, this very day, eternity starts. Eternity does not start when you die. It actually starts the moment you give your life to Jesus and receive the good news of Jesus in your heart. When you do that, life begins today. Resurrection does not start when you die and resurrect from the dead. Resurrection is available today. The same hope and the same power that comes when God resurrects you from the dead is the same hope and power that God gives you in your daily life. Whether that be spiritual and you're feeling weak and not strong, God can resurrect that in hope and in power today. Whether that's a relationship, a marriage, a relationship with your son, your daughter, your boss, your friend, God is able to have the hope and the power to resurrect that from the dead. More than that, it is not just available today in its hope and its power. The glory and the victory is available to you today. Today, you can believe that I can resurrect from newness of life, that there is a glorious arrival and victory in all of the areas of my life. Whether that be your financial life, there's hope, there's power, there's glory, and there's victory. Whether that be your professional life, whether that be your job, whatever it is, or your healing of your body, you can believe that eternity is available to you today, and the resurrection power of God is with you in hope, in power, in glory, and victory today and for all eternity. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is why we celebrate Easter. The resurrection is of first importance. Without it, our faith is in vain. It's useless. Without it, our hope is in vain. Without it, with it, it is the ultimate display of God's power. Secondly, what can we expect? It is glorious. It is eternal. It is victorious. And it's available today. It's available not the day we die. It is available, the same hope and power is available in your spiritual, relational, your physical, and even your financial life. It is available and glorious, and you'll find victory, and it's available to you today and forevermore. Join me in a quick word of prayer as we proclaim our victory in Christ. Happy Easter, everybody. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the joy and the privilege of knowing that in you, we are not just born again, but we have the seeds and the very nature of resurrection inside of us. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And happy Easter again, everybody. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.